Thanks, Rory. The second song talked about giving him our intellect. Now, I don't know. There's some days when I don't know whether that's a real sacrifice or not. You know, depending on how I feel. You know, or whether he's getting much in return. You know, did everybody get enough fireworks this past week? We came to the Blaisdell fireworks. I can't believe the fireworks show they have in Blaisdell for the 4th of July. I think it's one of the best around. It's really an excellent show the last couple of years. And they change it each year. They had one in the middle that had kind of with a symphony, and it just was just the way everything was synthesized together. It was an excellent program this year, as usual, getting to depend on, kind of count on that from Blaisdell. And I don't know if we had doubled the population over at the Ball Diamond or not, but there was a pretty good crowd over at the Ball Diamond at the celebration this year. Good time to celebrate our freedoms. And then last night they had the reading of the Declaration of Independence on Channel 7, which was an excellent reading. It took about eight and a half minutes, but it was an excellent reading by about 10, 12 different actors. We sang it as well with our soul, and there are times when it's real well with our souls, and there are other times, I think, when we kind of like to hang on to a few things, and it's not quite as well in heart. You know, we got to be careful as we live to remember that song, because, boy, it's a tough one sometimes. We've gone through two funerals, wakes this past week. We had Peter Vanderpool passed away from up on the hill, Donna Jean and Nancy Ann's dead. Jean and Nancy Ann are in the area yet. I think at least Nancy Ann is. I don't know about Donna. She may have flown back to Maryland already. And then our neighbor passed away the next day, Mr. Carr, at the bottom of the hill in Bayview. And we have another one that Bethel's been mentioning in for prayer a couple of times, friend Bednar's, and she's in hospice, and now she went back into intensive care. So it's been a rough week in Bayview, you know. And I think of that when I think of that, when I sing that song, you know, as we come in times of real trial, do we really, is it really well? And of course, we do need to grieve, we do need to mourn, but we can depend on Him. I'd like to, the other hymn, of course, which is very comforting, is Does Jesus Care? And oh yes, He cares, says the refrain. There was a time in, we've been looking at Peter's life. Let's look back at Acts chapter 12, where Brother Davis had us the past couple of extended prayer times. Acts chapter 12 and verse 10. And maybe when Peter went into prison, he wasn't, I don't know how well it was with him. Although knowing Peter and having a captive audience, he had two fellows chained to him and two more guys outside the door, he probably did some preaching, right? But somebody just mentioned that today. I was listening to something on the radio, and the guy said, talk about having a captive audience. You know, the same thing with Paul when he was in prison, you know, here's two guys that can't get away from them. You can preach to them all you want, and unless they pound you in the face, I suppose. But talk about having a captive audience. You're chained to the prisoner, and he's preaching to you. So we left off in Acts chapter 12 with verse 11, but let's go back to verse 10 just for a little bit of context. And they were past the first and second ward. Remember, he was in the prison, and the angel came and woke him up, kind of smote him on the arm, I think we read, and told him, get up, Peter. You know, get your cloak and let's go. Bind on thy sandals, gird yourself, get on your sandals. And he did in verse 8. And in verse 10, when they passed the first and second ward, they came under the iron gate that led to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. Forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. Nice maid. But she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, you're mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so, and they said, it's his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning to them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, Go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him, he found him, and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, town on the coast of the Mediterranean, and there abode. Some really neat stuff in this passage. Some really neat stuff in this passage. The angel takes them out, and as they go out, they get to the gate, and the gate opens by itself. Now, Peter hadn't quite woken up yet, because he said he hadn't come to himself yet until the angel left him. But had he been aware of what was going on, you know, he would have noticed that gate opening up. It opened of itself. Where else do we read about animate or inanimate objects doing things that we didn't normally think of them doing? And it's Old Testament or New Testament in the Scriptures. Here's an iron gate that opens up by itself. The axe head, right. The axe head in Elisha, when they were working on a project, this guy was cutting down a tree or something, and the axe head flew off, and it flew into the water, and he says, Alas, my master, for it was borrowed. 2 Kings 6:6. And Elisha put in a stick, and he put the stick in the water, and the iron head of the axe did swim. I don't know what kind of stroke that was, whether it was the axe stroke or the hatchet stroke or whatever it was, but it says the iron did swim, and he got the iron out, and he got the axe head out, and the guy didn't get yelled at by the fellow he borrowed it from. Another one, where something inanimate or living that wasn't a person did something unusual. The donkey talked, and that was the situation with whom? Balaam, right? Okay, and that's in Numbers 22:25, okay, to 28. Another one, Jason. Okay, the three men in the fiery furnace and didn't get burned, didn't get singed, and they didn't have the smell of smoke on them, right? Okay, so the flames behaved a little differently, the smoke behaved a little differently. What else? Another one. Pardon me? Walls of Jericho fell down when the people obeyed the Lord, right? Okay. Loretta. The sun stood still. Well, you know, a lot of things in creation that would say normally would be what? Impossible, right? They would be normally impossible or possible when God's involved. I was thinking also of bones with Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37:7, I guess it is, where God tells the prophet to prophesy to the bones, and the bones rose up on themselves. And the Pharisees told Christ to stop the people from saying Hosanna when he came into the approach to the city, and he said, if these be silent, even the stones would cry out. You know, a lot of different things in the Bible that are impossible, of course, with man, are possible with God. Well, this gate swung open, and Peter and the angel went through it. And then in verse 11, it says, when Peter was come to himself. What does that remind you of? The prodigal son in Luke chapter. Let's look at that one in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Keep your finger here. Luke chapter 15 and verse 15. Prodigal son went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. Boy, we were listening to a message a few weeks ago on Ruth, and how when Ruth went in the proper field, why, Boaz made sure that the harvesters left plenty of grain, and she got more that day than any of the other gleaners in the field. What a difference, huh? Because she was where God wanted her. even though she was a Moabite, she was where God wanted her. And here's this guy that's where he shouldn't be, and nobody's going to help him. And when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, isn't it so often, whether it be with our children or whether it be with different people we work with, you know they're doing things that are going to hurt them. You know they're doing things that aren't right, that God wouldn't have them do. Maybe, of course, we wouldn't be doing anything like that, of course. But then we hope that someday they're going to come to their senses. And we need sometimes to reflect, you know, and come to our senses. It says, when he came to himself, he said, and so forth, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? Those servants he probably disdained when he was the son at home. Those servants he probably didn't have enough time for. Time to give him the time of day when he was at home. Because of the air, you can kind of see that in the arrogance he has when he goes to talk to his father and how he spends his father's inheritance. How many hired servants? My fathers have bread enough in the spirit, and I perish with hunger. So he came to himself. And back in Acts chapter 12, Peter came to himself. When he was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety. Now I know. Now I know of a surety. Now he's aware of what's going on. Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. One of the disciples had just been killed just shortly before this. And we were reading about that last week. And it says in verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. One of the sons of thunder was killed just prior to this. And Peter realized that the expectation was that he'd be next. And then he not only says when he came to himself, but then it also in verse 12 says, and he considered. You know, it's one thing to come to our senses, but it's another thing to meditate on it. And sometimes God puts us through things. God allows us to put ourselves through things in life. God doesn't always put us through these things, but sometimes he allows us to go through things in terms of our wants rather than our needs. Our acts as well as our deeds, you know. But he says, when he had considered the thing, we need to meditate and think about what's going on in our life and where the Lord has brought us. What events God has introduced into our life during the week. What people he's brought into our lives during the week or in our lives. I was thinking of, let's turn back to, for a minute, just Psalms 8 and verse 3. Very familiar psalm. Psalm 8, for those who want to turn to it. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider, when I meditate on, when I think about the heavens, thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? There's a website for Christian astronomers, and it's out of Sydney, Australia, and I joined that a little while ago, and they were debating all sorts of this theories of cosmology, of evolution, and theistic evolution, and six-day creation, and some of the people have very little patience, and other people have more patience, and they were just talking about the fact of considering the fact that God is the one that created the heaven and the earth. And we don't know, there's a lot we don't know about it. There's an excellent article in the August Sky and Telescope about the illogical cosmology. It talks about even a secular scientist saying that even the stuff that we're learning today sounds so out of whack, it's no wonder people believe in creation. And this was from a secular Jewish astronomer. It's a very interesting editorial. I forgot to bring that tonight. But the idea is to consider what God has done. Peter realized what had happened, realized he was out of prison, And he thought about it. And it's interesting who he goes to. He goes to Mary, the mother of John Mark. Isn't that interesting? We don't read much about her. We see her name once or twice, but we see John Mark's name a couple times. But he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. And I wonder why he came there, why he went there. The only thing I can think of is that this woman is one who had her home open to the disciples. We read how Mary and Martha had their home open to the Lord. But he must have also stopped occasionally, or at least the disciples, at John Mark's place, his mom's place. Because there they were. When he went there, there they were. You know, the Lord took him right to that spot that he would naturally go to, just as Judas took the soldiers to the Garden of Gethsemane because Christ was wont to go there, right? And Peter went right after thinking about it, Peter went to the door of the mother of John Mark. And it says, where many were gathered together praying. And we need to pray tonight, so I'm not going to take too much longer. But he knocks on the door. They've been praying for his release. He knocks on the door. The girl answers the door and says, and recognizes his voice. Didn't even say she saw his face. She recognized his voice, spun around, and went back and told the people, Peter's outside. No, it can't be. You're mad. Where else do we read the phrase, you're mad? Pardon me? King Agrippa saying it to who? To Paul, right? You're mad, Paul. You know, much learning has made you mad. Here it says here that they tell this young maid, you're mad. Not that doesn't mean angry, you know, for those of you that aren't familiar with that. It means insane, you know, you're nuts. You're crazy. But she constantly affirms, kept saying, yeah, it's Peter, I know, I recognize his voice. And she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Well, then they didn't believe that either. They said, well, it must be his angel. You know? We're going to pray in a little while. We need to pray in faith. You know, they prayed. They got together. It doesn't say who it was, whether it was the rest of the disciples. It just says it was a large group. And many were gathered together. We need to pray in faith. And that's a real testimony to the need to expect what we pray for. Now, we don't order God. We petition God. But when we petition God, we need to accept the answer when it's yes, right? You know, we need to be ready for the answer when it's yes. And in this case, they were praying, but maybe they didn't really expect it to happen. How sad. When we pray, we need to pray with expectation that God just might answer it. Yes. Maybe we're so used to praying for our wants instead of our needs, and he says no, then when we pray for our needs and we get a yes, why, then we're surprised, you know. Hope it's not that way. We need to be ready. I'm going to stop here, and I want you to consider the rest of that. We may get to that at a later time, at a different prayer time, but I want to leave time here for prayer. I see Loretta's back. Loretta, do you have a few, have anything to tell us about from Peru? Have you had a chance before? Will that help? Or no? This is your first time back since you've been back, right? How'd things go? Kids get a lot of learning done there in terms of helping other people? Good. Did you get out before the earthquake? Oh, it is, huh? Good. Was it there when you were still? Well, it was. Yeah, I was down at camp. I didn't even know about it until a few days ago. And what type of work were the kids involved in? Kids pretty tired by the time they got back? Pretty good. Pretty pumped up. Okay, all right, good, good. I think we've been praying for you while you were down there. It's a great opportunity to get kids involved in hands-on, the practical side of Christianity. You know? Glad it worked out well for you. Okay, Jorge, or Lair, whoever's going to take the prayer time.